final word from the experimental.
I thought it was the last word.
It's a very short talk, but
he emphasized to me that it was not last words.
Yeah, actually, so Robin just said final word, and I like that much better than what I had thought it was going to be, which was final words, which is ominous. Ominous to say the least. So, I want to give just sort of some perspective, my perspective, which is not necessarily shared by the other experimentalists, but should be, of what I think of I've how stimulating this workshop has been, and what I think it needs me to. So, to start off, first of all, I really like the format of open discussion, especially for these kinds of models, where it allowed some deeper discussion so that we could really, so that I, as an experimentalist, could really understand some of the issues in these new ideas, at least they're new to me, which makes it fun. I really enjoy puzzling through these new models. And that, I think, that sort of interaction between this side of the table and that side of the table is not as common.
You picked the wrong photo, though, because these guys don't have ears. They only have
actually,
mouth.
That's why I picked this photo. So this is one of the egghead sculptures from UC Davis. It's actually just right over here. And it's two guys, I only could find a picture of one of them, face to face, yelling at each other, and they have no ears, so they're not listening. But actually, and sometimes that's what the two sides of our field can be.
In front of the law school. So close to the physics department.
Yeah. We got around that, and I think it's because of the way that this was organized. And I want to thank the Hefty and the other organizers for doing that, because it gave us a chance, at least for a short time, to actually have some ears, talk to each other now, and actually hopefully spin off these conversations and continue to talk to each other. So thank you.
Is that you?
No, it's not. I don't know who it is. This just Google gave me this 5 minutes ago.
You should say yes.
Yeah. I ran out just 2 minutes ago. So this interest in these new ideas is because they're fun puzzles. They're very interesting to learn about just because it's new physics. It may not be the physics we actually have, but it's still interesting. It's a fun puzzle. And it gives us signatures that I think are new and different. Maybe we've seen them before, but it brings them back to the front. And I think a lot of the experimentalists in here are signature-driven. An example of a trigger bias that we spent the afternoon talking about. The experimentalists here mostly came because they're interested in this kind of thing, the signature-based searches. And the problems we talked a lot about was how, actually, now when we go to the actual experimental trigger, how do we find these signatures? If you want to trigger an analysis that is signature-based, there's two ways to do it. You look for a signature that is a combination of standard model objects, two photons and missing energy, four leptons. And so you just trigger on some combinations of standard model objects. From the trigger's point of view, this is actually the standard menu of objects in the trigger. And the quirky things, like strange curvature, for example, is very non-standard model, and it's not in the standard menu unless you go and put it there. So to get the standard model physics that you want, as has been said a couple of times, you have to work hard to reject anomalous things, such as if you're looking for a quirky curvature for a muon, well, there's a lot of anomalous backgrounds to muons, and you have to reject them to get the standard model object. If you now want to get the non-standard menu objects, you have to do something different. And if you don't, they will be rejected, and so you have blind spots. This is actually a zoom of one of these sculptures. Not only does it not have ears, one of its eyes is closed. So you know, if we don't look, as Michael said, if you don't look, it's as if it didn't happen. So how do we get around blind spots? We spent some time talking about that, and I think that they split into two. There's some that are just plain impossible. There are some that are possible, interesting, but they're risky. Because if you want to do them, you have to really focus on them. That is, you have to work as hard on these non-standard menu objects to keep the backgrounds down as everyone else is, rejecting the physics you're interested in to get the physics they want. You have to work just as hard on this. And when I say you, I mean somebody has to take this. This is a responsibility. You need a person who grabs this and says, this is the physics I really want to do, and works hard on it, and keeps working on it, because as the luminosity goes up, all of a sudden new problems come in, and you have to come up with a new clever trick to reject the anomalous backgrounds to your search for something that is anomalous. And in the process, I think you need to avoid focusing so much that we develop new blind spots. Maybe that would be a beyond the standard model bias. This is a full-time job for an experimentalist. It has a lot of challenges. And it's actually, it's real work. It's the whole job. In the past, in the pre-corporate phase of experimental particle physics, this is the way it was done. You would get together with a group of colleagues, theoretical and experimental colleagues. This is before my time. This is how I heard from the romantic stories of how it used to be in the cowboy days before we wore suits and acted like lawyers, that you would come up with an idea you wanted to test. And you meant theory and experiment. And you figured out how you could do that, and you would submit a proposal to the laboratory for beam time. If you were approved, you would build an experiment, you would run it, you'd write reconstruction software, and then you'd do the analysis. And that's actually exactly what you have to do now for these non-standard searches. If you want to go look for a weirdly curving muon, you have to go back to the pre-corporate approach to physics, which is make a proposal for trigger time, and maybe even build the missing piece of the detector. Henry had the example of time of flight. That has been done, for example, in CDF, and there's some papers that are coming out, and they would not have been done were it not for the proposal to build that piece of the detector, and the trigger, and then do the analysis. You probably have to, well, maybe not write the reconstruction, you have to rewrite it, which is probably even harder than writing in the first place, because you have it. And then you do the analysis. So these are experiments within a collaboration, just as you used to have experiments within a lab. And I find this sort of thing very exciting. It's actually really, it's a fun way to do things. But it's a lot of work, because you have to work, you have to do every piece of the experiment yourself. And to do that, actually all along, you have to understand things, so there's this need for constant focus on what you really worry about, but not focusing so much that now you develop blind spots to something. And that's, I think, another example of this important theorist-experimentalist collaboration. Not theory-experiment, but a theorist and an experimentalist. The discussion we've had in the last couple of days, I think, is fantastic. It's the kind of thing that does this, and I think conversations are going to spin off that are more one-to-one and keep going. Actually, I hope that Hefty can bring another one of these together. This is the kind of stuff that I think allows us to do that. And we keep going. So, final words. I like the title of the workshop, Discovering the Unexpected. So we had a list of a lot of things that you could call unexpected, but now we know about them, they're not unexpected anymore. So rather what they are, we realized a lot of these are easily overlooked rather than unexpected. And so the challenge, I think, is what we need to do now is look over what's been overlooked and make sure that we look at it. Thanks.
I just want to say thank all of you for coming, and especially all the experimentalists. I don't know how many times I was told that this thing will never work because experimentalists will never show up, and I mean, what can I say? Thank you very much.
Thank you.